interesting.
And Beth and I are still
Beth? Yeah, she's come into the office. Well, and as I say, my husband knew Nate well, but she's
now,
come in
Beth's
with stuff.
Mother-in-law, Nate's mother, was Papa's sister. My father's sister. Tanta Malka. Ask me how I remember.
But she had a relative in New York that she went to, and she cleaned out the place.
That was on her father's side.
I see. Because she brought stuff in from that person to us. That's how I remember things, is what by what people bring us. But mostly, now, well, did you feel that your parents and the children, I mean, you had things that you did together all the time and stuff like that?
Well, one thing we did together, Papa, we had a car. You have the picture of the early Cadillac?
No, that we don't have. That would be good.
I'm 2 years old.
We could reproduce that.
My father with the old Cadillac. No windshield. It's got the straps.
Yeah.
We had a car, probably the first Jewish family in Rhode Island to have a car, because people would come and gawk at it. When Sam Rosen, who was my brother-in-law, my sister Gertie, when he caught it, my sister Gertie, he came in a horse and buggy. And we kids thought it was terrific because we had a car. That was ordinary. And he came in a horse and buggy. It was with the fringe on top. He used to take us for a ride around the block. That's how far. Anyway, every Sunday afternoon, my father had a sister who lived up far in Public Street. Public Street was what it is today. They had a nice big two-family house. The name was Silverman. Was that name?
Well, there are a number of them.
Anyway, it was my father's sister. Her name was, we called it Tanta Chana. In fact, my daughter is Chana. She's named after my aunt. We loved, she was the sweetest, the warmest, the dearest. But they lived on the other side of the city. Every Sunday afternoon, after dinner, the whole family would pile in the car. We'd go to
Did it have jump seats so you could have seven? My father-in-law had one that had extra.
But not the first one. The first car didn't have any jump seats. We used to go see Tanta Chana, and this was like 2 o'clock. I can remember it like I was saying yesterday. And we had big dinner Sunday. The whole family would sit down. We always ate in the dining room. That was protocol in our house. And this was Sunday afternoon. We go to visit Tanta Chana. We no sooner get in the house, we kids jump out of the car, running. Tanta, where's the oranges? Tanta Chana always had a big bag. Blood oranges. Do you want to see blood oranges? They're little oranges with red streaks and things. And a big bag of homemade cookies.
Oh.
And we devoured. My mother used to get furious. You just came from a big dinner. How can you? Tanta Chana's oranges. We'd go to Roger Williams Park. We'd feed the ducks, and we'd find. That was the family. Every Sunday we took Tanta Chana because she had diabetes. Very, very bad. She was a very sick lady. And the only outing she had on the whole week was when my father took her out. Now, her husband never came with us. I have pictures of him with suspenders and a plaid shirt standing there.
Ready to you.
Jason,
all those kids you blame.
With a whole bunch of kids. But I had such memories. I was 13 years old when she died, and I wanted to go to her funeral. And my parents, no place for a child out of the cemetery. You don't go to a funeral. But Papa, I wanted, because this is Tanta Chana, I have to go. I wouldn't go to school. And I remember I sat on the step, my front steps on Hope Street, and sat there all day while my parents were. I wouldn't eat, I wouldn't do anything because Tanta Chana had died. That was my remembrance.
But because
Goldberg, he was a podiatrist.
That was Goldman, I think,
Goldberg, wife's name was Gertie. She was named after the same person, my sister Gertie. She was my first cousin.
But would you say then that because of your parents' activity, because your father had his business and your mother her organizations and so on, that the older children might have kind of looked after the younger ones or paid attention to them?
Oh, I think so.
Yeah.
You know, I have very little recollection. I remember doing everything on my own. I came home from school, I studied, I practiced the piano. I loved the piano, I loved my piano lessons. And my mother, who'd never taken a note of piano in her life, she's standing in the kitchen. It was a big house, and I was in the front room practicing. She'd walk in the room, she says, "Rivka is klinknished." That klinknished meant it doesn't harmonize. Oh. I'm playing the wrong. She says, "Rivka's klinknished." I said, "Okay, Mom, start again." Nobody ever told me to do anything.
Well, I think maybe,
you know,
that's the way I feel, because maybe they just assumed we were going to take, you know.
I'm very responsible. My brother hubby, 9 years younger, and I took almost complete and utter care. I couldn't wait to get home from school to take my brother hubby with me every place I had. Something like Girl Scouts, but he used to pick up and he'd sit him down. He was such a good little boy. He'd sit there and watch why all the things were good. I don't know, we did help each other, see?
Yeah.
Because Mama had a lot of help.
Yeah.
She had live-in help, she had day help. She had a cook that came in for the holidays that would cook. She had love. She had a chauffeur. So she...
And I had a piece about the fact that you had a sewing room upstairs
on the third floor,
and then the seamstress would come in.
Yes,
and set
it.
She didn't.
And Mama,
she didn't sew, did she?
She, in her early years, when they first got married, she used to take in sewing. Now, do you remember? You know Marion Strauss.
Yes, yes.
Marion's mother,
Mrs. Brooks.
Mrs. Brooks, yeah. The old lady. She wore my mother's wedding dress, and Mama had to alter it to fit her, and my mother altered Mrs. Brooks's wedding dress.
Did your mother make her own wedding dress, do you think? Or you
she might well have. She was a beautiful seamstress. Uh-huh. Beautiful seamstress. Now, I left that whole part of her life out. But she learned that in Germany.
Oh, yes. You wrote about
when her own mother died and her father remarried, she didn't like her stepmother. So, she became very difficult and awkward.
Yeah.
So she was placed in a German family to live with them. And they lived in a mansion. In those days, there was no ready-made clothes. So the first job they gave my mother, she was about 15, was to apprentice the seamstress. And Mama learned, and she sewed beautifully. But she started to take in sewing to help my father.
Oh, yeah.
But my father, she did it on the QT. My papa, come on, she'd hide off. Wouldn't tell her. One day he came home a little earlier than he expected, and he caught her. And he, "What are you doing, Betty?" And she said, "Oh, you hit those back." In those days, you know, that was macho. No women. No
women. Your wife did not work?
No. That was disparaging him. So that was the end of her sewing career.
That is interesting. Yeah.
But I had a beautiful love affair. Beautiful.
I think that comes
beautiful through.
Beautiful love. I guess that I am had more or less.
Look, you'll read this through.
Yeah,
that's
I will.
That was very nice of you to do that. That's wonderful.
I did it while I was supposed to be working.
I'm impressed.
Yeah.
You wrote so much.
Paula Sutton is manager of the Coral Banker, a realtor. They just opened in January at the square. And Ed needs to somebody to come in and pitch hit at the telephone. So I'm the telephone operator.
That's very nice.
I get out
of the way. Pay you what I need to deduct from it.
Look, see, it's on his.
Oh, and
it's on his paper. It's on his stationery. I said, Ed, give me some.
What are you going to
do? They didn't want us doing that. And Papa
they
Ford.
Didn't watch it, period.
No, they, What's changed?
They still don't.
No.
Oh, I remember friends of ours who moved to Barrington. This was after World War II. And, in the 50s, when they were showing houses, they were never shown anything at Rumstick Point. They were shown some at Mayotte Road. That was all right. But not in the points, no. You just didn't. They allowed you into that small
little stretch at Governor Bradford.
Yeah.
But remember, I have the picture of of the Miriam Hospital women that met in Oakland Beach that you're proud of.
That was the first. That's way back. That's when I'm the baby.
That house burned down, right?
Did it?
Was that the house?
No, the house.
That's the second house.
The Adelaide Admiral house.
Wasn't that Adelaide Admiral? With a porch?
No. That was Oakland Beach.
That was 1907.
Papa built a house in Barrington. What went when?
Oh, I meant Oakland Beach was 1900.
Oh, yeah, that has a baby. No, but we moved this end of the bay.
That ruins our story. I tell everyone that's the house in Barrington. I never knew that.
My father used to take me swimming to Oakland Beach, I can remember. And Rocky Point.
It's unbelievable. You know, I turned in Oakland Beach. I remember where the Waldman's live. I remember the dock. I remember my father. He threw me off the dock to teach me how to swim. That's the way how I learned how to drive an automobile. We used to have a show. Harry used to come in from Providence, come down, pick him up, then drive him back to Providence, then come back to Barrington. Someone other could have a car all day. But she never drove. And he had to get the 8 o'clock train to whatever it was. Well, one day Harry doesn't appear, whatever the reason. And Papa wants to take the 8 o'clock train, the commuter. There was the railroad station, mm-hmm. Where your center is. Mm-hmm. That was the railroad station.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Huh?
I didn't know.
Did you know that? Ah, is there anything there that shows that where your center is? That was the railroad station. So he wanted to make that 8 o'clock. Train. And I was just maybe a week before I was 16 years old, and he said, I'm sleeping. He came up and took the cover of my blanket, and he slipped it off me. Pa, what are you doing? He says, get up, you're going to take me to the station. I says, what do you mean I'm going to take you to the station? He said, and we have a 7-passenger Cadillac with the best women in Jonesy. I don't know how to drive. I'll teach you. Come on. I'll teach you. You'll know how to drive. He says, you'll live in 5 minutes. It's true as I'm sitting here. I got behind the wheel of the car. You put your foot in your ears, you put your feet in your back. And for the first, and he drove to the station, left me with this hump of metal. And I sat there. And I said, oh my God, what do I do? I said, well, I got to get home. So I get behind the wheel of the car and I put it. Car jumps, you gotta learn how to ease the pedal. Takes another jump, takes the third jump. I said, well, I'll jump my way back, that's all that'll happen. So I stayed very close to the curb, and I got home. I did make it, got in the garage, in the air. My mother is, she's angry. He's for sugar, he's for sugar. She said, oh my God, the man is crazy.
Because she didn't have today's traffic.
How did you do it? How did you do it? Ma, I know how to drive.
I emancipated myself.
Don't worry. And the day I was 16, I got my license. I was in business.
Oh, we'd love to have a picture of that Cadillac.
Yes.
We'll copy and return it.
Yeah. So that's the one that I have a picture of. Oh, this was the new. This I was already 16. The picture, the Cadillac. I'm only 2 years old.
Yeah, that's a great one.
Oh, it's a marvelous picture. I also have a picture of 98 Benefit Street.
Oh, fine.
Now that was on the cover of the Brown Lining. I also bought a painting of that by Joan Bogosian for the Miriam Hospital. It's hanging on the third floor, right? Front.
But that house, you said, was a two-family, so it's been converted,
right?
Yes.
One family.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah, I think you said something about that also is on the roster of
the historical houses. Oh, yes. They always show it when they have tours. Mm-hmm. I don't know how little my father sold it for, but today it's worth about $300,000 or $400,000.
Oh, yeah. Like my aunt had a house on James Street. This is my sister's era. She's 9 years older than I am, so she has different recollections. And she said they had these beautiful marble windowsills. Well, my aunt had her plants and everything. It was such a lovely house. It wasn't far from the balcony.
This ends kind of abruptly.
Yeah.
This anymore. I didn't know how far it goes. So yeah.
Well, if I...
I'm sure you won't use it all, but...
No. Well,
way ahead of the times.
One of the things that I remember, I couldn't find it before we came, but it must have been my 12th or 13th birthday, because Grandma died and I was 14.
Yeah.
I...
I don't know if
she would have autograph books.
You know, the
And she wrote something, a very lovely message in it. And but it was in, you know, perfect English.
Yeah, she did have an excellent command of let me put it this way. She had a great vocabulary. Her command of English was another thing.
Well, she had
a great vocabulary. Yeah, in many ways.
You know, she took lessons from a boy from the first day, almost right after she, well, right after she was married. Oh, no,
it was a little late.
Because I remember going upstairs. We had a den on the second floor. A boy from Brown
used to come.
And so I was two when I moved there, so it was a
few years.
And she used to take private lessons.
But to be able to speak it is one thing, to be able to write it, I think.
Well, her writing, you know, showed that it was not comfortable, but...
But she did it in English.
She did it in English.
English. And when I the portions of her diary that I do, I cleaned up her English. But her use of English was interesting to me, and that I kept, just as she, her magnificent, whatever it is.
Yeah.
But I didn't put in anything as well.
Well, I found her description, say, of an organization. She got, you got through, you knew. It was the people, it was the feeling she had for it, the work that they were doing that was so important. She was able to convey that. She really...
That was our table conversation. We always had as a children in the dining room.
Yeah.
That was the table conversation.
Nobody ever
asked me if I got an A or an F in spelling or whatever.
But we had
Miriam Hospital, Miriam Hospital, Jewish Health Nation, community system. We kids need to come out of it. That's all we heard.
That was
the whole, you see, Papa worked, so she had to bring them up to date and everything. And lots of times she needed his pocketbook to bolster her community.
But I know, and of course, his involvement with the foundings of Emmanuel were very...
And how about the Jewish Community Center?
Oh, in the Jewish Community Center, yes.
I wrote that here, too.
Yes.
He's up and down.
I'm assuming that he was also a very substantial giver in those
fields. Was,
yeah.
In fact, he had almost beyond his means. He had six kids. Mm-hmm. And he grew up really in style.
We grew up beautifully.
And he educated
and
me.
Everybody.
He educated
and
me.
Everybody. My brother Peter, who was the oldest, was called Rhode Island State, but he didn't like school. He stayed 2 years, and that was it. My sister Grace finishing school in New York.
Yeah, I had a cousin that went to one
school. She came home dressed like a model. And all the aunts knew which frock he was and talked French fluently. Ella, the Astor.
You commuted when you went to Pennsylvania.
I lived at home.
Yeah, well, it wasn't that far a walk.
No. I never dawned upon it. I didn't feel it was that hard to Brown, but she lived
at the college.
And Dorothy lived at the college. But I tell you, I was really quite independent. I came, I went, I had what I wanted. Nobody picked on me. They ignored me.
That's the answer. Maybe we should all ignore him.
Yeah,
grow up like him.
Thank you again.
I appreciate it
very much. Nice to meet you.
And
nice to meet you.
Too.
All right, we'll try to get those answers for you.
Yes.
All right. And we'll also give you those
pictures.
We'll make copies for them.
Yeah.
Sure.
One is the doorway to the benefit street.
Yeah.
One is the Cadillac. And we'll all...